Number 5. Think of yourself as a one-man army. You're not only the commander-in-chief, you're the soldier as well. You must plan and execute your plan alone. People are always comparing business to war and to sports. We do it because these are analogies we immediately understand, not because business is about toughness. It isn't. It's much more important to be smart than tough. I know some very bad businessmen who are brutally tough, but they're not smart people. They want to act like Vince Lombardi, but they don't know how to win. Lombardi would slap his players, even spit in their faces. He'd have 300-pound men virtually crying. He could do that because he won, but you can do that only if you win. Billionaires like to win. A Natural History of the Rich is full of examples of hyper-competitive plutocrats. Larry Ellison racing his yacht from Australia to Tasmania. Steve Fawcett flying a balloon around the world. And Dennis Tito paying $20 million for a trip to space on a Russian rocket. All of them, one way or another, were showing off, Conniff writes. To put it in the biological context, they were engaging in display behavior. Animals do it all the time, and their displays, like ours, fall loosely into two categories. They show off with fine feathers, and they show off with risky behavior. I have my own theory, but it's not as scientific. We do it because it's fun. Work hard, play hard, and live to the hilt. Number 6. It's often to your advantage to be underestimated. You never want people to think you're a loser or a schlepper, but it's not a good idea if they think you're the smartest guy in the room either. Because I wrote The Art of the Deal, everyone is always on guard whenever I negotiate with them. One of the reasons President Reagan was such a successful candidate for office was because rival politicians consistently misjudged him. They assumed an actor wouldn't be able to compete. Through years of insults about his lack of intelligence and political experience, Reagan would smile and remain genial, and in the end, he always exceeded expectations. Because I'm too famous to be underestimated, I know that sounds egotistical, but it's true. I'm always impressed by ultra-successful people who live great lives in a low-key manner. For example, one of my neighbors in Trump Tower is a man named Joel Anderson. For years, I'd see him in the elevator and say hello, but I didn't know anything about him. One day, he called my office and said, "Do you think it would be possible for Mr. Trump to attend my party?" He seemed like a nice guy with a terrific wife, so I figured I'd pop in for a few minutes. When I got to the party, I was amazed to find myself surrounded by some of the most influential people in New York, including S.I. Newhouse and Anna Wintour. I soon discovered that mild-mannered Joel Anderson is the chairman and CEO of Anderson News, one of the country's largest distributors of newspapers and magazines. He's one of the most powerful and generous people I know. I'd been riding in the elevator with him for years, and I never knew who he was. In How to Get Rich, I discussed how important it is to let people know about your accomplishments. I'll always believe that. But there are times when it's even more impressive if people discover your accomplishments without you telling them directly. A few weeks after Joel Anderson's party, I noticed a long and highly positive profile of him in the business section of the New York Times. So I want to amend my advice from the previous book. It's often necessary to boast, but it's even better if others do it for you. Number 7. Success breeds success. The best way to impress people is through results. It's easier for me to do deals now because I've had so many triumphs. You have to create success to impress people in the world of business. If you're young and you haven't had any successes yet, then you have to create the impression of success. It doesn't matter whether the success is a small one or a big one. You have to start with something and build on it.